Let there be you, let there be me, let there be oysters under the sea. Let there be wind, an occasional rain, chili con carne, sparkling champagne. Let there be birds to sing in the trees, someone to bless me whenever I sneeze. Let there be cuckoos, a lark and a dove, but first of all, please, let there be love. Let there be cuckoos, a lark and a dove, but first of all, please, let there be love.
First 2 minutes and 40 seconds of this program reflect the remainder of the show, then we're in for a good one. Good evening, good night, good morning, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to Beagley at Night with me, RB. Got 2 hours of good music for you. Usual features in the usual places. We'll have some comedy, anything else that I can think of over the next 2 hours to keep you entertained.
Peek-a-boo to you, you dreamer-oo, whoever let you out alone. Peek-a-boo to you with all that woo-woo, walking in a danger zone. Don't you know the woods are full of dames, trying to trap some boy, and you're the real McCoy, little Lord Fauntleroy. Take a look at how they hold a powwow, take a listen to the sighs. Take a look at me and you can see I'm jealous with the light green eyes. Mom, hand me my fowl and peas, I'll police those charms. Then I'll say peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo to you in my arms. The real McCoy, little Lord Fauntleroy. If they should attack, I'll hold them back, I'll cut them to the proper size. Take a look at me and you can see I'm jealous with the light green eyes. Mama, hand me my blunderbuss, they won't muss those charms. Peek-a-boo to you, peek-a-boo to you in my arms.
That lady was born, relatively speaking, just down the road from where I am now in the Bronx in New York. Several hits with the Larry Clinton Orchestra, including My Reverie, Deep Purple, and Heart and Soul. But there we heard Peek-a-Boo to You.
On every tree there sits a bird singing a song of love. On every tree there sits a bird, and
Hello from Johnny Mathis. Right now we have Maurice Jarre and his orchestra and La Valse de Paris. That's your actual French. Thank you. very nice. That was the Paris Waltz from Maurice Jarre from 1966. He was the father of Jean-Michel Jarre, although, of course, Maurice Jarre, totally famous in his own right. I think that he scored every David Lean film from, certainly going back to Lawrence of Arabia, and I think as far up as A Passage to India. Certainly did some good stuff in his time. Maurice Jarre, here on Angel Radio. Okay, a couple of minutes late, but it's time for Bing. And singing with Bing this week, no introduction required.
Good, good, good. That's you, that's you. Nice, nice, nice. That's you, that's you. Fine, fine, fine. That's you, that's you. Good, good, good. That's you, that's you.
Your tasty lips are sweeter than a lollipop. And every time I kiss you, oh, I hate to stop.
Keep talking.
I rack my brain to find the proper adjective. A sentimental compliment to give you.
Good, good, good. That's you, that's you. Nice, nice, nice. That's you, that's you. Fine, fine, fine. That's you, that's you. Good, good, good. That's you, that's you.
Good, good, good. That's you, that's you. Sweet, sweet, sweet. That's you, that's you. Yum, yum, yum. That's you, that's you. Good, good, good. That's you, that's you.
Good, good,
good, good.
That's you, that's you.
Good, good.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. That's you, that's you.
Ah,
yum, yum, yum.
Good, good.
That's you, that's you.
Good, good.
Good, good, good. That's you, that's you.
I never went to Eton University. Therefore, I have a limited vocabulary.
And so I use the language that I have on hand while making love to you on your veranda.
Good, good, good. That's you, that's you. Nice, nice, nice. That's you, that's you. Fine, fine, fine. That's you, that's you. Good, good, good.
Sweet.
Fine, fine, fine.
Yum, yum, yum.
Good, good, good. That's you, that's you.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, though he loves his mate. Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late.
Don't look at me, sweetheart, with scorn in your eyes. I've been out all night, I'm gonna tell you no lies. Stopped in one place, I heard him singing a song. Like a lonely sparrow, I started singing along. Just singing
sparrow
in
the treetop, sparrow in the treetop,
all night sitting in the tavern.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop,
singing
going home because it's too darn late.
In walked a blonde and dear, she asked me to dance. I told that blonde,
no, no,
no, no, that there wasn't a chance,
that there wasn't a chance.
I love my kids and my beautiful wife.
Is that the honest truth, dear?
Oh, I swear by my life. I kept singing
sparrow in the treetop, all he loves his mate.
Singing in the tavern,
sparrow in the treetop, singing going on because it's too darn late.
Mm-hmm. There's things I am, sweetheart, and things that I ain't.
'Cause you're a man, and a man is no saint.
Won't you forgive, 'cause I'm telling you true. I was in that tavern, only thinking of you.
Only thinking of you.
I just a singing.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop. All he loves his mate.
In the tavern.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop. Scared of going home because it's too darn late. Scared of going home because it's too darn late.
Well, quite right there too. That was Bingen singing with Bing this week. Of course, the Andrews sisters, they really did not need an introduction, right? And we heard their Sparrow in the Treetop, and before that, Good, Good, Good. Hope you enjoyed that. That's the last Bingen singing for a little while here, but next week we're going to just have Bing on his own, so we'll have whole new title for that, but that's next week. Time now to go over to Holger's house. Each week Holger sends me a song that he thinks that we're going to like, and this week it's something terribly bright and terribly breezy from somebody who is Swedish, no less, so not only can I not pronounce the name of the song, but I am pretty much at a loss for the name of the singer as well. Name of the song, well, let's see, I'm going to guess a Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, and I'm going to say that the singer is Sue Malmquist.
Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling. Schade um die Tränen in der Nacht. Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling. Weil schon morgen dein Herz darüber lacht. Im Hof, da spielte sie mit Joe von vis-à-vis. Doch dann zog ihr in eine andere Stadt. Wie hat sie da geweint um ihren besten Freund? Da gab ihr die Mama den guten Rat. Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling, oh no. Schade um die Tränen in der Nacht, yeah, yeah. Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling. Weil schon morgen dein Herz darüber lacht. Mit 18 traf sie Jim, sie träumte nur von ihm. Zum ersten Mal verliebt, das war so schön. Doch Jim, der war nicht treu und alles war vorbei. Da konnte sie es lange nicht verstehen. Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling. Schade um die Tränen in der Nacht. Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling. Weil schon morgen dein Herz darüber lacht.
Bis dann der eine kam, der in den Arm sie nahm. Nun gehen sie durch ein Leben voller Glück. Und gibt's von Zeit zu Zeit mal einen kleinen Streit, dann denkt sie an das alte Lied zurück.
Der Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling, oh no. Schade um die Tränen in der Nacht, yeah, yeah. Liebeskummer lohnt sich nicht, my darling. Weil schon morgen dein Herz darüber lacht. Weil schon morgen dein Herz darüber lacht.
Oh, great stuff. I love that. Sue Malmquist and Liebeskummer schont schnickt. And thank you to Holger, with apologies for my pronunciation there, who every week sends us some lovely songs from his collection in Germany. And he'll send us another song for next week's program in the next couple of days. And once Holger has heard his bit here, he goes off to bed. So, Holger, have a good night's sleep, and we'll catch up with you next time you hear it on Angel Radio. Check the website for for details of days and times of the show. At the moment, I think it's Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and I say think, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's, you know, it's my memory. What can I say? It's not as good as it used to be, but it's not as bad as it will be one day, I suspect. But we carry on, we persevere. Time now for, I think, the last in our series, Forever Iris. This is where, over the last couple of weeks, I've been playing songs in memory of our Iris, who was one of the best presenters here on Angel Radio, and she was responsible for me not only listening to the radio station for the first time ever and then forever in a day, but she was also responsible for me ending up on the radio station as well, although she never ever knew that. And we've been playing some music in memory of her, and when I say we, I mean DAB Dave and myself, coming up with the songs that we knew she liked and sometimes songs that we think she probably would have liked if she had told us. And that's where we're going to end up this week. Two songs. DAB Dave has chosen one. I've chosen the other. Jim Nabors and You'll Never Walk Alone is DAB Dave's choice, and mine is probably the best version of Softly As I Leave You ever from the great Lena Horne.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky, and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on. Tears to fall so soft.
Lena Horne and Softly As I Leave You. And before that, Jim Nabors and You'll Never Walk Alone. Our final two songs in our short series of Forever Iris. And she will be forever in our hearts. Everybody that works at Angel Radio and everybody that's listened to Angel Radio. Tell you, it's a really lovely evening here in Danbury, Connecticut. I have the window to the studio open, so if you hear the studio door creaking in the background from time to time, that's the reason why the wind's come blowing through. But it's really gorgeous, gorgeous evening, and we don't have many of those here in Danbury, Connecticut. It's either too hot or too cold, but absolutely glorious at the moment. Time now for Beagle's Big Three, and for a change, and I do mean for a change, I'm choosing the Beagle's Big Three this week, but I don't think you're going to be sad at that, and I don't think you'll be too worried about that, and I certainly know you're going to know exactly who it is.
How glad the many millions of Annabelles and Lillians would be to capture me. But you had such persistence, you wore down my resistance. I fell, and it was swell. I'm your big and brave and handsome Romeo. How I won you, I shall never, never know. It's not that you're attractive, but oh, my heart grew active when you came into view. I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie, all the day and night time. Hear me sigh, I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion. Could you coo, could you care for a cunning cottage that we could share? The world will pardon my mush, 'cause I have got a crush, my baby, on you. I'm needin', And ain't that a shame? It's so hard to keep up with troubles that creep up from out of nowhere when love's to blame. So ill wind blow away, let me rest today. You're blowing me no
charm, won't you please arrange it, 'cause I love
just the way you look tonight. Just the way you look tonight.
Frank Sinatra and The Way You Look Tonight. We started off that little threesome with I've Got a Crush on You, and in the middle we had an Ill Wind. Beatles Big Three this week, Old Blue Eyes himself. Time now for this week's Tell Me a Story, and this week the story is called Survival Kit, and it is told by June Whitfield.
Survival Kit by Stella Whitelaw, read by June Whitfield.
Coming home to an empty house was the worst part of being alone. The rooms echoed of nothingness. Only the scent of flowers lingered in the air, but even that was fading, though the blooms weren't quite ready for the bin. Much like her, in fact. How strange the bed looked, one side smooth and untouched, the other with her floral nightie neatly folded on the pillow, and the paperbacks with which she anaesthetised herself each night on the bedside table. The bathroom floor was unfamiliarly dry. No damp patches, no discarded towels and dirty washing, no rim round the bath. There was no coat on the banisters, no ties on door handles, no newspapers on the floor. Everywhere was so tidy. She stood motionless at the kitchen window, waiting for the kettle to boil, staring at a garden she hardly recognised. Snow speckled the flower bed. It was freak weather. There had been a spell of warmth, unusual in late autumn, and then a sudden drop in temperature had brought snow and a sharp wind that bit unprotected skin like small teeth. Much like him. He had been freak weather, the man she had married so trustingly 3 years ago, and who had walked out on her last month without a second glance to live with another man. Well, his freedom had been fleeting. He died in a car crash just days after their separation. At first, when she'd been told what had happened, she was stunned. Then, as the pain began to ease, she'd accepted the fact that he would never return. She'd made a list of the things she wanted to do. Go to the theatre, trips to the sea, museums and exhibitions. Use her freedom to the full. So far, she'd done nothing. "I must organise myself," she said as she stirred the tea. She found an envelope addressed to both of them and crossed out his name. She wrote on it, 1, evening classes. 2, eat out. 3, new hairstyle. But the words bounced off the paper, and she was left with the dread of being lost and never being properly alive again. Work was as automatic as breathing. She arrived at the office on time, typed, answered the phone, made coffee, programmed herself to cope, made the right replies, composed her office face. But at home, it was different. He had left space. The television was just meaningless mouthings and the radio background noise. She heard nothing, and her sight was still unfocused. The snow swirled down onto the brown earth like icing sugar on a chocolate cake. There was a movement among the flurries. A small animal, or a cluster of leaves. She didn't like animals very much. Their scuttling alarmed her. Her tea grew cold as she watched the snow thickening to a lacy blanket. The waste bin needed emptying. She went outside, bowing her head to the blizzard, watching the tips of her moccasin slippers pick up a crust of snow. The animal was crouched against the dustbin, like a small white hedgehog, blinking against the snow that stuck to its lashes. It was visibly shivering, baby fur sprouting icicles. At first she didn't know what it was, ears flattened to its head, tail curled underneath. Then it blinked up at her, and she saw that its eyes were an incredible opalescent green. It was a cat, a kitten cat, a halfway grown creature, neither cat nor kitten. She didn't like cats. She didn't like the mystical way they looked at people. She emptied the rubbish into the dustbin and banged the lid. The rim of snow dulled the noise and the small cat barely flinched. "Shoo," she said, but her voice was softened by the cotton wool flakes absorbing her breath. She turned to go back indoors but tripped on an unseen edge and her slipper went flying. She hopped on one foot, her stockinged toes gingerly touching the icy paving stones. But the kitten cat had been lightning fast. He darted into the warmth of her slipper, trying to fold himself into a size 5 without success. "Shoo!" she said again, exasperated, trying to shake him out. But his claws clung like a limpet to the lamb's wool lining. She was getting wet. Snow was settling on her shoulders and the back of her neck. She picked up the slipper with the cat and hobbled indoors, a damp stain chilling the underside of her foot. Once inside, the cat jumped out of her slipper and shook himself all over the floor, creating a miniature snowstorm. "Drat the thing," she said, putting her slipper to dry on top of the stove. The cat regarded her with a look of quiet acquiescence that said, "I will go without protest if you turn me out, but I will not fawn on you for hospitality." Strange how she could read that look. It was crystal clear in those amazing eyes. She poured herself a fresh cup of tea and, almost without thinking, put a saucer of milk on the floor near the cat. It sauntered over and sniffed cautiously. Its tongue darted out and the milk disappeared as the cat hardly took a breath from its lapping. Then it daintily mopped up the drops it had spattered and sat back to clean its milk-speckled muzzle. "It's starving," she thought with astonishment. The cat's condition was a shock. She'd never imagined any such predicament. She didn't want the responsibility. She wanted to be left alone in the comfortable cocoon of her empty house. The kitten cat suddenly leapt 6 times its own height and landed gracefully on the stove. It snuggled against her slipper, front paws stretched out to dry, a small, enigmatic, unblinking sphinx. "You're not staying, so don't make yourself comfortable." She went to the phone and dialed the local police station. "I'm reporting a found cat, a kitten."
"Well, is it a cat or a kitten?"
"I don't know. It's bigger than a kitten, but not quite a cat."
"Where did you find it, madam?"
"It was crouching by my dustbin."
She heard his patient sigh. "Address of same dustbin, please, and description of cat, in case anyone inquires. There might be some distraught youngsters somewhere."
What did it look like? She had no idea. She darted into the kitchen and back to the phone. "It's got peculiar darkish stripes on its back and white everywhere else," she said, lowering her voice in a ridiculous manner. The cat had fallen asleep on the stove, one paw over its nose.
"A grey tabby," said the constable. "We'll let you know if anyone inquires."
"But I don't want it," she said, panicking. "Can't you take it away?"
"Sorry, that's impossible. But I'll give you the address of the local branch of the RSPCA.
She wrote it down on the back of an envelope. A pile of unopened mail was on the desk. The branch was some distance away, and it was too dark and too late to take him now. He would have to stay overnight. Food. She hadn't cooked for days, eating only bread and jam, bread and cheese, bread and jam. She hardly thought a cat would eat a jam sandwich, however ravenous. She scavenged around in the top compartment of the fridge freezer and found a boil-in-the-bag cod in parsley sauce. It was a single portion, but enough surely for a young cat and a woman with no appetite. She also heated some frozen peas. The cat ate in straight furrows, vacuuming the saucer several times till there wasn't a speck of sauce to be seen. It was dishwasher clean. She gave him her hardly touched fish and he demolished it, then sat back to clean his whiskers fastidiously. He jumped onto the stove and flaked out, small tummy distended with boil in the bag. "All right for you," she said, mashing the peas between 2 slices of bread. "A minted garden pea sandwich." She must be going mad. Much later, she heard a polite mew from the kitchen. The cat was hovering by the back door. Was he going? Did he want to leave, she wondered, as she opened the door? He leapt out onto an unhappy-looking flower bed and stood there, poised, as though half expecting the door to be slammed. Well, she grumbled, I'm freezing. He turned his back modestly, and a moment later was kicking snow everywhere. It was a performance she hadn't witnessed before, and she was bemused. Then, with one bound, he was back indoors, shaking snow off his paws. That evening, she actually stirred herself to do some sorting out. She went round the house and removed everything that had belonged to her husband and the oddments he had given her. He hadn't been mean, only in spirit. He hadn't even shared his thoughts. She stored the stuff in carrier bags in the broom cupboard. The first brownie that came to the door for Jumble would get the lot. She'd forgotten the cat when she got up the next morning and nearly tripped over it as it lay stretched across her slippers. "You're not staying," she said, putting her cold feet into the lamb's wool, "and I've nothing for breakfast." But she relented and broke a slice of bread into warm milk. He wasn't critical of the sparse fare and ate with quiet gratitude. She rushed around gulping cold coffee. "Oh, drat you, hurry up. You're going to make me late for work." She pulled on boots, a heavy overcoat, scarf, checked her keys. She didn't bother with makeup these days. A cold blast of air hit her unmoisturised cheeks and unprotected lips as she opened the front door and gently dropped the cat onto the path. He landed forepawed on a dusting of icy snow and shot her a desperate look. It was no good. She couldn't just go. She hurried back indoors, tipped shoe cleaners out of a cardboard box and picked up an unread newspaper. She cleared a path of snow off the porch tiles with the edge of her boot, put the box on its side like a hutch, with folded newspaper as a makeshift floor. "That's all I'm doing," she panted. "Now I'm really late." She hoped he wouldn't be there when she got home. She wanted him to go off somewhere, to leave her alone, so that her mind needn't be employed. But as she turned towards the house that evening, he was sitting like a sentinel on top of the box, tail curled neatly over his toes. He jumped down as she searched for her keys, tail held high, and shot indoors the moment the door was ajar. "What a nerve," she said. She found a rusty tin of sardines at the back of the larder, which they shared. She made hers into a sandwich. That evening, she went through her clothes and threw away anything her husband had particularly liked. It was very cathartic. The next day she put adverts in local shop windows. Found small grey and white tabby. It generated instant talk with the shop assistants. One gave her a leaflet on caring for kittens. Another gave her a sample of new gourmet cat food. The snow began melting into a dirty slush. A tide mark of wet crept up the cardboard box in the porch, and the top, where the cat sat, was sagging perilously. "Why won't you go?" she despaired, renouncing the cat. When the box collapsed, he waited on the wall instead. Each evening he greeted her with a small, sweet mew of welcome, as if he had been warned not to make too much noise. No one phoned in answer to the adverts. She contacted the police again. She questioned her near neighbours, but no one had lost a small tabby. "Dumped, I'd imagine. Probably from a passing car," said one. She searched for the RSPCA address, but she'd thrown the envelope away unopened. She didn't know what to do. She couldn't phone the police station again. They would think she was a crank. Instead, she bought three bunches of bright yellow chrysanthemums, not one, but three. She filled three pottery jars with the blooms and stood them on the front windowsill, like a declaration of independence. For supper, she cooked four chicken fillets in a casserole with plenty of vegetables and baked potatoes. It would be enough for both of them, twice. She was washing up when the phone rang. "Hello? Betty? Long time no see." She laughed a little, smoothing back her dark hair with a wet hand. Oh, I thought you were someone phoning about a cat. No, no, it would take too long to explain. Yes, I'm all right. Well, not all right, but getting on somehow. She paused while her friend's voice enthusiastically filled in the silence with words, an invitation to a club dinner. No, sorry. I know you're only being kind, but I just don't fancy going out. I'm not ready for parties or meeting people. Scrabble? She stopped and thought about small words. She knew cat. I might cope with a game of Scrabble. Betty hastily pinned her down to a day and a time. I'll come round after I've made supper, she said. Yes, thank you. A lift home afterwards would be nice. But I don't mind coming into the house any more. You see, it isn't empty now. She said goodbye to her friend and put down the receiver. She took her knitting out of a cupboard, a chunky sweater she'd been making before he left, and turned on the television. There was a good play at 9 o'clock. The cat watched the preparations carefully and judged his moment. He had been waiting a long time, patiently. He jumped up onto the settee beside her, squeezing himself down into the small gap at her side. He put one paw on her thigh to make sure she didn't go away, the beginning of a purr vibrating in his throat. She stared in surprise at the small creature, looking properly for the first time, marvelling at the blotting paper images of grey markings across his back. It was like seeing, after being blind, a sunburst of delicate beauty that was stunning. She touched his head, amazed at the swan's down softness under her fingertips and the trust in the small furry face. Kitty, she said, getting the gender wrong. It was a natural mistake, not unlike her other catastrophic mistake. I suppose I'll have to call you Kitty. And for the first time, she began to feel the stirring of hope for the future.
That was this week's Tell Me a Story, and telling the story was June Whitfield, the story Survival Kit. And we'll have another Tell Me a Story round about the same time next week.
In the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you, love you. Every little beat that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sign tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you brings joy I never knew. Ah, but to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true? Someone like you could love me, Louise.
Mm-hmm.
that was Bing Crosby, believe it or not, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra and Louise from 1929. If you've just joined us, a very good morning to you. You're listening to Beagle at Night here on Angel Radio. We're on FM in Havant and Gosport and Portsmouth, and we're also on various DAB multiplexes around the United Kingdom and, of course, around the world at angelradio.co.uk. If you go there, click on the link to the internet, and that will show you lots of ways of how you can listen to us from outside of the United Kingdom. Time now for a little bit of Posh. And last week we had a very nice piece of music, and I really did enjoy it so much. It was A Song to the Moon from Rusalka. So we thought we'd have another song from another opera this week. And this, again, is absolutely beautiful. It's Maria Callas.
Woo!
Travelers and the Philharmonia Orchestra, and that was, of course, from La Wally in the first act, Emma No Andro Lontano. It's an opera that doesn't get performed very much, mainly because the ending of it is Wally throwing herself off a mountain in an avalanche. It's very difficult to get all of that onto a stage, I suspect. Although, I think the stage at the Metropolitan Opera in New York could do it. But that's just me. I'd love to go and see whatever it came about. Hope you enjoyed that. And if you would like to suggest something for the posh part of our show, or indeed any part of our show, do please just drop me an email, roy@angelradio.uk, and let me know. And if I can fit it in, I surely will. Right now, well, a little bit earlier than normal, but that's because we're going to play a few more songs from the great Doris Day.
Never before and never again could
never before and never again.
No two people have ever been so in love.
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 Incredible. No two people have ever been so in love.
Been so is my lovey-dove and I.
This is unique, the positive people. We are the most unusual couple on
no
earth.
No two people have ever mooned such a moon.
Moon such a moon.
June such a June.
June such a
spoon
June.
Spoon such a
what
spoon.
What he means is that no two people have ever been so in tune.
Been so is my macaroon and I. And when we kiss.
And when we kiss.
And when we kiss.
Well, it's like this.
Well, it's historical. It's hysterical. It's...
Let me tell it.
Well, certainly, darling.
No two people have ever been so in love.
Been so in love.
Been so in love.
Been so in love.
Been so in
it's
love.
Impossible. No two people have ever been so in love.
Been so
as my lovey dove and I.
This is the dream, the very extreme, the sort of a dream you couldn't imagine.
Well, anyway, no two people have ever been so in love.
Been so
as my lovey dove and I. When we kiss.
And when we kiss.
And when we kiss.
Well, it's like this.
Well, it's historical. It's hysterical.
Let me tell it.
Well, naturally, sweetheart.
No two people have ever been so in love.
Been so in love.
Been so in love.
Been so in love.
Been so in
it's
love.
Impossible. No two people have ever been so in love.
Been so
as my lovey-dove and I.
This is the dream, the very extreme. Sort of a dream you couldn't.
Well, anyway, no two people have ever been so in love.
Been so as my lovey dove, as my lovey dove, as my lovey dove and I.
Love you, honey.
Love you, honey.
Love you, honey.
Ooh, if you only knew.
When I'm with you, honey,
all my days are sunny.
Love to kiss you, honey.
Ooh, if you only knew.
Oh, my daddy sang this song to Mom way back when.
And I knew the moment I met you I'd sing that song again.
Love you, honey. Love you, honey. Love you, honey.
Ooh, if you only knew. Love you, honey. Love you, honey. Ooh, if you only knew.
When I'm with you, honey, all my days are sunny.
love to kiss you, honey. Ooh, if you only knew.
Oh, my daddy sang this song to Mom way back when.
And I knew the moment I met you, I'd sing that song again.
Love you, honey. Love you, honey. Love you, honey. Ooh, if you only knew.
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 Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway, the hip hooray and ballyhoo. The lullaby of Broadway, the rumble of the subway train, the rattle of a taxi, the Daffy Dills who entertain at Angelo's and Maxie's. When the Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. The milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Sleep tight. Let's call it a day.
Bye, I'll buy you this and that, you hear daddy saying. And baby goes home to her flat to sleep all day. Good night, baby. Good night. The milkman's on his way. Sleep. Magic.
else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? It's magic. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you. It's magic. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you. See the setting sun, the evening's just begun, and love is in the air. Be mine tonight. At a time like this, would you refuse the kiss I'm begging you to share? Be mine tonight. Promise this my own, before the night is flown, you'll tell me that you care. And hope whisper love words, oh so tender. Give your kisses in sweet surrender. Let your heart be mine tonight. Be mine tonight. Be mine tonight. Promise this my own, before the night has flown, you'll tell me that you care. And hold me so tight. Whisper love words, oh so tender. Give your kisses in sweet surrender. Let your heart be mine
Well, there you go, not one, not three, but five songs in our Day at Night sequence this week. Started off with No Two People and then Love You. And then we had the lullaby of Broadway, It's Magic, and Be Mine Tonight, Noche de Ronda. And we'll have some more songs from Doris Day around about the same time next week, all being well. You're listening to Beagle at Night here on Angel Radio. Stick at the Boys back in 1939 with My Prayer, and joining in just for good fun, Ray Eberly on the vocals.
Names told her she was divine, but she turned out to be a girlfriend of a boyfriend of mine. I used to take her places, she loved to dance and dine, but she turned out to be a new friend of an old friend of mine. She taught me love was just a joke and what a broken heart meant. She even had me go and get a kitchen and apartment. She thrilled me with her glances, her kiss was just like wine, but she turned out to be a close friend of a Scotch friend of mine.
Best I can each day, but when sadness comes to me, I get so lost, I can't find my way. Baby, hang on to me. Just can't make it alone. There comes a time when roses die and the thorns are all you see. So don't let go when you hear me cry. Baby, hang on, hang on to me. Baby, hang on to me. Hang on, hang on to me. Just can't make it alone.
Hang on to me.
Well, I sort of said not last week, but a couple of weeks ago, that we'd have a few more songs on the program from Mel Torme, because Bill in Brentford said that he doesn't hear him very much here on Angel Radio, and I think he's right in that, so we trying to redress the balance here on Beagle at Night, and that was a song called Hang On to Me. Right now on a train, the Atchison, Topeka and the Santa Fe, to be correct, it's Petula Clark.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I think that's end number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way. The Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe. Of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia on the Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe.
Around. I'm a man's ideal of a perfect meal, right down to the demi-tasse. I'm a pot of joy for a hungry boy, baby. I'm cooking with gas, so I'm a gumdrop, a sweet lollipop, a brook trout right out of the brook. And what's more, baby, I can cook. I've made a magazine cover. I run my house on a dime. I'd make a wonderful lover. I should be paid overtime, 'cause I can bake, too, on top of the lot. My oven's the hottest you'll find. Oh, I can roast, too. My chickens just ooze. My gravy will lose you your mind. I'm a brand new note on a table d'hote, but just try my a la carte. With a single course, you could choke a horse. Baby, you won't know where to start. I'm an hors d'oeuvre, a jelly preserve, not in the recipe book. And what's more, baby, I can cook.
Thank you.
smorgasbord. Go around until you've had your fill. Baby, you'll never be bored. Oh, I'm a pâté, a marron glacé, a dish you will wish you had took. And what's more, baby, I can't go.
Certainly actually did know how to cook because she was quite famous for her hot pots. I think I can say hot pots like that. It was Betty Driver, and that was a song called Learn How to Sing a Love Song, and I think that came from Penny Paradise. And before that, proving that she could cook as well, it was Nancy Walker from On the Town. And Nancy Walker was the housekeeper in Macmillan and Wife. For the most part, it was Macmillan and Wife. I think the last season was just Macmillan. I'm not totally sure Nancy Walker was in that anyway. I think she went off to do her own thing at that point. But doesn't matter. I sort of digress. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed those two. I thought it would just be very, very interesting to have two songs about cooking. Betty Driver, all the hot pots that she made, she was a vegetarian as well. Who knew? We had our hairdresser come to the house a couple of weeks ago to cut my wife's hair. Sounds a lot posher than it is, trust me. But I decided to give her a little bit of lunch, and the hairdresser, as well as my wife. And we got talking to the hairdresser, who apparently doesn't really like anything to eat at all, because everything I suggested she really didn't like. Was a bit strange. And I'm a reasonably good cook, and my wife said to the hairdresser, I said, yeah, well, you let Roy just give you something, you will like it. And I did, and she did. And she turned out, as we were talking to her, that she had never eaten steak in her life, and just never ever liked the look of it, and couldn't even, you know, she could cook it, but she could not eat it. And I'm sort of the same thing with eggs. I can cook eggs, but I can't eat them because they just put me off. They're all right in pancakes and waffles and things like that, but souffles are a no-no, and quiches are a no-no, and fried eggs, scrambled eggs, anything like that, and I can't even try them. It's just hit and miss. But I do apparently make very, very good eggs, which I thought was interesting, because a lot of people actually do end up cooking a lot of things that they really don't like, including, apparently, Betty Driver in Coronation Street for all of her hot pots. Although I suspect they probably had a stagehand to cook them, don't you? There was a thing as well, just whilst I'm sort of going on, prattling on about nothing much, there was a thing on the people who like Angel Radio Facebook page a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about Crossroads, and we was trying to think of all the chefs that had worked in the Crossroads Motel, and there was Shuey McPhee, and there was Mr. Booth, and there was another one who I think was Spanish, and I think his name was Carlos, but I'm not totally sure. but I'm convinced there was at least one more, and for the life of me, I can't think of his name. So if you happen to know, would you do me a favour and shoot me an email and just let me know who the chef was that I can't think of? And if it's more than one, please do put me right and put me out of my misery. I'd be very, very grateful. Shuey McPhee, Carlos, Mr. Booth... See, that's all I can come up with. Oh, well, I'd fail meanly at Trivial Pursuit. All right, okay, somebody's telling me to get on with the music, so I will.
And while I'm kissing them sentimentally, keep the liberal point of view, because I'm breaking it to them gently that my heart belongs to you. Daddy, please remember this, that tomorrow starts a life of bliss. Let me show them what they're gonna miss. Kiss the boys goodbye. And while I'm kissing them sentimentally, keep the liberal point of view,
because I'm breaking it to them gently that my heart belongs to you. Daddy, please remember this, that tomorrow starts a life of bliss. Let me show them what they're gonna miss. Oh, kiss the boys goodbye.
Journey as you go, keep a prayer within your heart that the time will surely fly to the day.
I've got 13 minutes left, but I think everybody wants me to go. That was Vera Lynn and From the Time You Say Goodbye. Then we had, before that, Mary Martin and Kiss the Boys Goodbye. And before Mary Martin, we had Dolly Dawn and her Dawn Patrol and Goody Goodbye. So I think that's caught you up to date with all of the songs that we have played so far. So how about this one now from Mr. James Last?
Thank you. wake you up in the morning. We keep you on the go.
We're your company in the evening and at night when the lights are low.
Angel Radio, old-fashioned quality.
Your constant companion.
Who stole my heart away? Who makes me dream all day? Dreams I know can never be true. Seems as though I'll ever be blue. Ooh, means the happiness. Ooh, would I answer yes to? Well, you want to guess who? No one but you.
Mr. Jack Buchanan, Stand Up and Take a Bow. That was called, quite simply, Who. Maybe one of the shortest titles of a song that I've had on the programme. Two more, if I'm quick, I think.
Love me with all your heart.
Kiss me, dear, while I hold you tight. Make this evening a magic night.
Love me, promise we'll never part.
You can make all my dreams come true if you love me as I love. I love you more than you ever could know. Daytimes I spend dreaming of you, nighttimes I'm telling you so. Yours is the softness of spring to me, yours is the beauty of fall. Heaven is mine when you cling to me. You I adore over all.
Love me, love me with all your heart.
Kiss me, dear, while I hold you tight. I'll make this evening a magic night.
Love me, promise we'll never part.
You can make all my dreams come true if you love me as I love you.
If you love me.
One of those songs that they never seem to quite know when to finish it, do they? That was called Love Me, Love Me from Mr. Dean Martin. And I think before that, just need to check, I didn't play a double, did I? Know we had Jack Buchanan and I mentioned that. That's it for me and this edition of Piglet Night. I'd like to thank you so much for joining me. Believe me, I do not take your company lightly, and it is a great pleasure for me to be here to entertain you for 2 hours every Wednesday morning. It really is one of the highlights of my week, and I do not take your listenership for granted. Never will. I'll be back around about the same time next week, all being well. Until then, from me to you, have yourselves a good week and a safe week, and may I be the first to wish you a very good morning, except you, Brad Klemper, and I wish you still a very good evening.
Tell me what it was came over you. You ain't the devil, but you might as well be. For all the changes you put me through, long gone, baby's what I'm gonna be. Long gone, pack up and save my soul. Hang on to whatever's left of me. Find me walking the long gone road. Want someone to believe in. Need someone that wants me to. Don't want no lies and deceiving. Girl, that's all I get from you. Long gone, baby's what I'm gonna be. Long gone, pack up and save my soul. Walking the long gone.